Amen and amen. God bless you this morning. Good to see each and every one of you here today. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1 this morning. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 1. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. For your information, I have used 3 different segments of this chapter for my text. Started with one, like, no, let's go to the second one. Went to the second discourse, and like, oh, this is going to be it. And then finally came back around and said, no, I'm not going to use either of those. I'm going to use the first one. Amen. Praise God. So let's start here at verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thine head, and chains about thy neck. Amen. Praise God. You're probably not going, well, you may understand it this morning. I simply want to preach for a little while about, I don't want to be lost. Amen. I don't want to be lost. Amen. I want to be saved. I want to make it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you just help me pray here this morning over the word today? God of heaven, we need you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, Savior. Oh, God, needing you to help us here this morning. Hallelujah, Savior, I worship you and praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated today. Praise God. The book of Proverbs is an interesting book. I would say that most of us have probably read it several times. Some of us have a habit or a way in that many months I will just read one chapter out of the book of Proverbs per day, and then at the end of the month, 31 chapters, 31 days, or one day you read 2 chapters, and you have it read, the book read, just reading a chapter a day. And it's a book that is full of wisdom, instruction, understanding, and the wise man here says, that the wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel, that they may be able to understand a proverb and the interpretation thereof. And so sometimes it doesn't necessarily that the proverb comes out and it says exactly what its meaning, but there is a lesson. Mother Goose has replicated this. She gives little stories and such, and there is a proverb that is attached to it. There is a lesson underneath it that can be learned from that, even for the children. I am endeavoring to break the book of Proverbs up. I have read it many times, and now I am going back and really just studying it because it is so full of information. And so going back and just breaking it apart and studying it. And I have found that the book of Proverbs can really be divided into two sections. And if you've read it a couple of times, then you would understand it, because the first nine chapters, basically Solomon is talking to his son. And so it is longer discourses as he begins to speak concerning things. And the last half of that, or chapters 10 through to 31, are actually individual proverbs. And so it's just like a little one verse deal, and then it goes to the next verse, and they can be completely different. Sometimes they may hang on one another for a few verses, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just change. It's just little nuggets of wisdom here and there. In the first nine chapters, we have, in the theological term — it's not necessarily a theological term, but it is used in theology, and it's just simply called discourses. And that was what we were going to talk about this past Tuesday night at Bible study, if we had gotten into that. But and then it just popped up in my studies this week, and so went back and reviewed it. And a discourse is just simply a term that is used to refer to units of connected text that are longer than paragraphs. Obviously, your Bible is broken into text, as in scriptures and verses, I would say. And sometimes these verses bleed over into other verses many, many times. And sometimes you can see a story that is there. But sometimes the story is not completed within that parenthetical part. That's just chapter by chapter. And that a chapter can almost end the train of thought. In reality, chapters and verses were added hundreds of years later to the Bible so that you and I could collectively get on the same page in the same area, so we could find one another and read. And so sometimes chapters, obviously, they're put in a place that the reader or the interpreter, the translator, would feel it to be best. But sometimes it kind of breaks a thought. One of my feelings, personal feelings on this, is Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 11. You can begin to read the last part of chapter number 10, and then you can just stop and then start with a quote-unquote a new train of thought for Hebrews chapter number 11. But in reality, that is a complete discourse. And so there is a break there that is put there by the translators, but it's not necessarily, in my opinion, in the right place. It said, we are not of those that would pull back unto perdition. And then he goes in and said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so really, they do bleed together. And so that's what a discourse is. A discourse pulls the whole thing, no matter where the break is. A discourse may end in a chapter. A discourse may cover the complete chapter. It may cover more than the chapter, but the theme of it stays the same. And so this is to be found in Proverbs chapter number 1 through chapter number 9. You have a set of discourses there, and that Solomon is speaking to his son. And so I'm going to come back to our text here in a moment, but we'll pick up what I was originally going to use as my text, and that is verse number 10 of Proverbs chapter number 1. Solomon begins to get into direct conversation with his son, and he gives him some words of wisdom, and he addresses him, saying, my son, he said, let me teach you a few things here. He said, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, and let us lurk privily in the innocent without for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow up them up alive as the grave, and whole, and those that go down into the pit. And we shall find all precious substance, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. And he says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. And so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. So what he is saying is, it's not just those that would say, come with us and let us lay wait for blood. Solomon says, it's everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And so when you begin to look at the book of Proverbs, you would see that there is a central theme to it all, and it is just simply the path of life. That's really all it is. The path of life is a central theme throughout all of these 9 chapters to begin with. It is a theme that bleeds over into the other chapters. But basically what Solomon is doing is, let me teach you how to get from here to there without having so many heartaches and so many scars and so many regrets in life. And if you'll listen to me and you'll learn from the things that I have learned, then you will begin to understand the path of life. And so when he said there in chapter 1, verse 15, he said, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. That word way comes from a Hebrew word that is used 25 times in these first 9 chapters. And I'm not even going to get out of chapter 1 today, okay? So don't even worry about that. Amen. IHOP will still be open when we're done. Praise God. You'll be able to make it without it closing. Amen. Praise the Lord. But some 25 times this same Greek word, the same Hebrew word is used in the first 9 chapters, and it is concerning the way. It is translated a few different ways and stuff. For instance, one place it says that the path, another place it says the road. But here in verse number 15 it says, walk not thou in the way. And the word occurring here implies throughout these sections that there is a path of life. And it is a rich metaphor for one's actions in life. Let me just state it like this, that it implies a current point of origin, or in other words, where are you right now? Where are you currently in life right now? And then it also implies that there is a destination, there is a way. I am here, and there is a destination, there is a path, there is a way. Amen. There is a place. And then it doesn't necessarily conclude at the point of where I am going, but what it entails is all of the key transitional moments, or the forks in the road, or the choices of life that I make. Where I am now, the path that is laid out before me, and the choices that I make. Because the choices that I make are going to dictate where I end up. And so it's not the final destination of necessarily where I want to be, even though that is key. But it is the choices that I make that are going to determine where I end up in life. Praise God. And so Solomon, considered to be the wisest man, possibly lived upon the face of the earth, and all of the world was astounded at his wisdom. When in the moment of drought, and in the moment of no food around and such. And so he has brought a baby before him, and two ladies, two mothers are sitting there, and they're both claiming that the baby is theirs. And Solomon just decides, I don't know how he pulls all this out so quickly, but hand of the Lord was upon him. And he said, bring me a sword. A sword was brought unto him, and he said, cut the baby in half. And he said, this is pretty easy. He said, we'll give half to one mother and give half to the other mother. And that sounds a little bit barbaric, but there was something that Solomon was going to see, and the true heart of the mom cried out and said, no, don't hurt the baby. Just give the baby to her. Let the baby have life. The other woman said, no, cut it in half. And Solomon understood and realized who the real mother was. And his wisdom was known throughout all of the world, the country and stuff. And everybody spoke about the wisdom that Solomon had. But Solomon was born of a wise woman by the name of Bathsheba. And you say, you know what? She had her bitter times and bitter elements in life. And even the child that she fostered with Solomon out of wedlock would pass away. And so there is bitterness and hurt that is in there. But then there is the birth of Solomon, and there is things. And she understands of how that people are trying to usurp the throne and take the the throne from David and also take the throne away from Solomon. And she goes back unto David and she says, look, you made a promise and you did this. But she also had the wisdom to go get the prophet Nathan and to listen to the preacher as he advised her and talked to her and told her of what she was going to have to do. And so she is a wise woman, and she is the one that is chosen to train and to raise this boy by the name of Solomon. Obviously, his dad is King David. He is described in the book of Acts as a man that is after God's own heart. He is literally, no matter his stature, he is a giant among biblical legends. And Solomon here is born not just of the kingdom of the royal family of David and with Bathsheba, but he is also born with a keen intellect and a teachable spirit. And he has an eager curiosity about life and a disposition towards spiritual things, that when he takes the throne and the Lord would appear unto him and say, Solomon, what is it that you would have me to give unto you? Solomon doesn't ask for riches and fames and fortunes and all of these other things, but he just simply said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge that is so great a people? And yet Solomon had not been so wise in all of his choices along life's pathways and at many forks in the road. He had chosen unwisely and wrong, and that is the reason that he is writing the book of Proverbs. He has a lot of regrets in life. He has a lot. The Bible said that he had 700 wives and concubines and such. And so he's brought in all kinds of things that he knows is wrong and stuff. And at the end of life, in not just the end of life, but during life, he is pinning these words unto Rehoboam, the individual that would become the king. And he would say, look, don't do as I did. Amen. Just do as I say. And if you'll just listen unto me, you're not going to have a whole lot of regrets later on in life. You're not going to have a lot of heartaches. You're not going to have so much stress and so much worry and so much pain and stuff. If you will just listen to what I have to say. This is summed up completely in our text as we read this morning. Amen. And it is the objective of Solomon's complete book. And he says there in chapter 1 early on, he said, hey, Rehoboam, my son, he said, I want to teach you wisdom. Interestingly, Solomon's attributes or attributes wisdom to a series of animals later on in his book. Not because they have great intelligence, but this is what I found to be extremely marvelous. He attributed life in general to these animals later on, not because they're intelligent, but because they know how to navigate life. He said that the ant stores up food in the summer. He said that the coney or the rock badgers, they make their home among the rocks for protection. He said the locusts, they have no king, but yet they march in formation. And the lizards are so easy to catch, but you can find them even in the king's palaces. Amen. He's saying, I'm not saying that they're all wise or that they're intellect. I'm just saying they know how to navigate life. What Solomon is saying is, Rehoboam, I'm telling you right now, amen, it's not necessarily that you got the wisest and the smartest head upon your shoulder, but it's, do you know how to react in life? Do you know how to navigate through this life? I'm telling you, Rehoboam, because I've walked a mile in these shoes before. Every day you're going to have choices that you're going to have to make. You're going to have forks in the road. Do I go left or do I go right? Amen. It's all about this. And if you know how to navigate this, and if you can use the words of wisdom that I am implying and imparting unto you, you'll be able to be much further ahead than what I am. Isn't that the desire of every parent, amen, that your children would have it much better than you would have it, amen, wouldn't have to worry about the scars and the shame, wouldn't have to worry about the pain and the pressure and the heartaches and the hardships of life, and a lot of this you learn simply because you walked in those shoes before, amen, and the reason that you walked in those shoes before is because that wisdom can't be handed down, amen, amen. An old cynic said, if there's one thing thing that history teaches us is that we learn nothing from history. Amen. It's acted out in front of us, and we just think, nope, I'm going to be different. I'm going to choose different. Amen. I'm going to do the same thing, but it's going to come out differently. Einstein said, amen, that's the definition of insanity, in that you would try to do the same thing over and over and over and over and expect a different result. And what Solomon is saying is, hey, Rehoboam, if you do as I did, you're going to have the same heartaches, the same pain, the same pressure, amen, the same scars, the same regrets in all of life. But let me hand you down some wisdom, and let me tell you and give you some advice so that you would be able to navigate this road called life. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I pause here this morning. I heard something funny, and you've probably heard it too, and I can't remember it, so I can't do it justice, but I listened to it a couple of times just because it arrested my attention. But there was a comedian or somebody, and he said, you know, there's only two things in life that you got to worry about. Anybody's heard that? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's hilarious. There's only two things. I wished I could remember it. But he's like, there's only two things in life you got to worry about. He said, you know, health or sickness. He said, if you're healthy, you don't have to worry about anything. He said, if you're sickness, there's two things in life you got to worry about. He said, if you're sick, you got to worry about, are you going to get better or are you going to die? He said, if you get better, you don't have anything to worry about. If you die, there's two things you got to worry about. Amen. You got to worry about if you're saved or if you're lost. He said, if you're saved, you don't have to worry about anything. If you're lost... And he let it on for some time. But you know what? That's the fork in the road. That's the fork in the road. Left or right? Left or right? Choices. What do I do? Amen. Praise God. That's the way that is. And you would think that being the son of the wisest man upon the face of the earth, that Rehoboam would have said, you know what? I saw all of my dad's actions. I was there. I saw him, you know, wringing his hands. I saw him wiping the sweat off his brow. I saw him pulling his hair. I saw the frustrations that he had. I experienced, you know, some of these things and stuff. I saw him in his hot displeasure and his anger and his joy and stuff like that. You know, I ought to look at this and take this book with me and read some about it and make some different choices and have it to help me. But that's not the way that it went. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, the son of a woman by the name of Naamah, an Ammonite. That's just one of Solomon's bad choices. Because the Ammonites were the descendants of an incestuous affair that Lot had with his youngest daughter. And the Ammonites were enemies of the Israelites at all times. And they had a propensity to worship Molech. Molech was known for casting their children into the fires, sacrificing children. And the Lord had even spoken way before Solomon was ever born and told everybody that would not heed to his voice what was going to happen. Deuteronomy 7, he said, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughters shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn your son away from following me, that they may serve other gods. And then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you and will destroy you suddenly. So here's the Lord handing out wisdom and said, look, this I'm just going to tell you. This is just what's going to happen. If you marry them, they're going to turn their hearts away from serving God. If you bring them into the camp, they're going to bring their gods with them, and they're going to turn your hearts away from serving me. This is just what's going to happen. And when it happens, don't expect my hand of favor and blessing to be upon you. As a matter of fact, my anger is going to be upon you, and even destruction shall come. And so here's Rehoboam, and he becomes the king, and early in his reign, the northern tribes of Israel, led by Jeroboam, asked Rehoboam to ease the heavy labor and the taxes imposed by Solomon. And so Rehoboam says, look, give me a few days to counsel with some people, and let me see, and you come back to me, and I'll give you my verdict. And so Rehoboam You think that he's kind of following after what Solomon would tell him, and so he goes to the elderly and he asked for counsel concerning these things, and all of the elderly counsel, they said, look, you really should do this. You should ease the burden and stuff, and if you do that, you'll keep the kingdom together, and this and this and this will happen. And so Rehoboam's like, okay, well, let's go ask all the young guys. And so he goes over there and he asks all the young counselors, he said, what should I do? And they said, oh, you should increase the affliction. And you say, you know, if my father's affliction was as big as my pinky, he said, my affliction is going to be as big as my thigh. And so he went back and he told him, he said, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to increase it. We're not doing away with it. I'm going to increase it. And because that he made that decision, it split the kingdom. 10 tribes are over here, and 2 tribes, Judah, the king with Rehoboam, Judah and Benjamin are over here. And it's just conflict against each other. And I'm not going to get into it, but eventually even Benjamin would disappear off and through all of this and such. And so that was just the beginning. That was just the beginning. And so Rehoboam just let people know. He's like, I'm just going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, as I want to do it, how I want to do it. And nobody's going to tell me differently. I'm going to be my own man. And so he didn't give heed to his father's advice. And so so in all of this, in Rehoboam's reign, there's pagan worship and idolatry that's brought into Judah. And there are high places that were built upon the hills, idolatry. There were sacred stones and Asherah poles and associated with the fertility gods and the goddess like Baal and Ashereth were erected, and there's widespread immorality throughout all of the country and stuff, and there's just nothing good that's going on. And then even King Shishak of Egypt comes in and he destroys the whole place and takes out the holy vessels and takes all the shields of gold and takes them all out and stuff. And so basically Rehoboam is left with nothing. And that was the story of Rehoboam. How sad. It didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to end up like that. He had everything gifted to him, life gifted to him, wisdom gifted to him. You know, so many times in pastoring, I deal with certain things and such like that, you know. And I've either prayed or told people, like, it's like, nobody gave me the handbook of what to say and how to answer and what to do. And you know, I didn't get a Superman cape when I stepped into the ministry. And I don't have all the answers and all the things. And I can't go back to some type of book and pull it out and say, now, when they ask this question, here's the answer that you need to give. Rehoboam had that. He had that. All he had to do was just read. Can I say it like this? A chapter a day? Chapter a day, and he would have read it 12 times in a year. He had it all before him. You know what? For most of our lives, that's the exact same way that it is for us too. Yeah, we do. We got it all set before us and such, and that's just the way that it is with every one of us. But somewhere in the midst of all of this, you have got to make up your mind and you've got to establish your feet and you've got to say, if there's one, there's a whole lot of things that I know. And even Paul would say, there are some things that I should do that I don't do. And there are some things that I shouldn't do that I wind up doing. And it's not necessarily, don't define him as a hypocrite and say, well, he was sinning. No, he just understood that if I make that decision, I'm going to live with the repercussion. And it's not necessarily sin, but if I would choose and do a little bit different and suffer affliction now, I can enjoy the pleasures there later thereafter. But instead of working today, amen, and resting later on, I'm resting today and now I've got to work later on. Amen. That's just Paul saying there's always 2 choices in life. There's always some things and you may know exactly what to do and you may have all of the answers and stuff, but you still have a choice. And you can tell yourself time and time again, I know that I should do this, but I don't want to do it today. Procrastination.
And procrastinating and putting it off till tomorrow can leave, amen, down the road of life and cause, amen, that you wouldn't be able to make that decision again, and things would change. And if you would have done it yesterday, that series would have happened differently, and outcome would have transpired differently. But because you put it off until tomorrow, it's not exactly the same. Because our choices oftentimes are bound by frames of time, amen. And what is good and perfect today may not be good and perfect tomorrow, even though it's still the best choice. And oftentimes we know this and we understand this, but even knowing and understand it, we don't make all the right choices in life. And you know what? We pay and we suffer the consequences for those choices. Mama said, don't do it, but you thought to yourself, I'm going to do it. Daddy said, I wouldn't do that if I was you, son, but you thought to yourself, you know what? I'm big. I can make my own choices. I can do my own thing, and I'm going to prove to him that it's going to come out differently. And you know what? It may have come out differently, and it may not have come out differently. If it came out differently, you don't have anything to worry about. If it didn't come out differently, you got two things to worry about now. Well, amen. What a choice do I make now? How is this affecting my life now? And it just begins to roll. There is this thing called the path of life. But somewhere or another, you've got to get to a place in your life that says, even though there are choices that are, I want to make every choice according to the destination that I want to be. I don't want to be lost. Amen. There are some things that I may do that I regret, but help me to be able to find an altar and to repent and to say, God, take me back to that place. If I would be able to please you, bring me back to that place that I can make the right decision. Because all in all, God, I pray that you would remember that I am but flesh, and help me, God, because I don't want to be lost. Let's love him here today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus would give us words in the book of Matthew, chapter number 7 and verse number 13. As he was speaking and giving words of wisdom unto those that would hear and those that would listen. And he would tell them, he would say, enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Amen. The Lord was reiterating, there's still two paths. Amen. There's still one way is always going to venture left. One way is always going to keep you straight. But you're going to have choices all through life. And so this path, this rich metaphor for one's actions in life, implying to every one of us, hey, you do have a point of origin. Amen. What Jesus was saying is, I'm not necessarily worried about where you were yesterday. I'm not necessarily worried about where you were last week. I'm not necessarily worried about the decisions that you made last month. And yes, all of those decisions have affected where you are in life today. You can be a miserable individual simply because of the decisions that you have made. You can be well off and still be lost because of the decisions that you've made today. But what Jesus was saying is, let's forget about yesterday. And let's just talk about today, and let's talk about where you're heading, and let's talk about the decisions that you've got to make. I want you to be cognizant. I want you to be aware that when you wake up on Monday, you're going to have some choices to make, and understand one choice is going to lead to a wide way, and one choice is going to lead to a narrow way. One choice is going to lead to destruction, and another choice is going to lead unto life everlasting. And when you make that choice, you're going to get down the road and you're going to have another choice. One choice is going to lead to the wide way, and another choice is going to lead to the narrow way. One choice is going to lead to destruction, and one choice will lead to life everlasting. Make sure that you choose the right way.
Praise God. I would venture to say to you, not because I'm full of wisdom,
But many, many times you're going to face the same choices. Amen. When I'm fishing, when Brother Tom's fishing, and we like to fish, and you know what we do? We cast that bait out there, and we start reeling it in. And if we feel a nibble, if we feel a bite, if we feel a tug, you know what we don't do? We don't change lures. We don't change colors. We don't change anything because they're biting on it. And we throw it right back out there and present it the same way. Amen. We'll throw it back out there again and again and again. And if it finally feels like that's not what they're looking for, then we'll choose to do something different. I'm just simply saying, if the devil notices you hesitate on a choice, he's not going to throw a different choice at you. He's going to come back with the same choice. He's going to come back with the same question, the same scenario, until you've conquered and until you get past it. And you may choose right today, but he's coming back later today. He's coming back tomorrow. He's coming back next week. And he may give you the same choice, the same two questions. You're going to choose right or you're going to choose left. And you've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. You've got to be smart enough, wise enough. You've got to be cognizant enough to understand, I sure would like to do this, but I don't want to be lost. I sure would like to go here, but I don't want to be lost. I sure would like to have this, but I don't want to be lost. That ought to be the decision making and everything. I don't want to be lost. Praise God. The Lord, our Creator, knows our chemistry, our makeup, our weaknesses, our strong points. And he would even tell Paul, who said, you know what, I've entreated the Lord three times to deliver me of this thorn that's in my flesh. But the Lord came back and he said, in your weakness, my grace is made strong. And he said, you know what? If I pull that thorn from you, you ain't going to lean on me as much as you used to. You need to, you're going to be stronger leaning on me. Your dependency, your strength is depending upon me. And so weakness in some areas is actually a strength unto us, because we understand that that's our weakness. And when that weakness begins to come against us, we immediately run to the Lord and say, I feel vulnerable. I feel like I'm going to be overwhelmed. And so we depend upon the Lord because of our weaknesses. But all of your strength can be detrimental, because you feel like you're strong enough. And when the adversary comes in and the enemy comes in like a flood, you're not depending upon the Lord. You're depending upon your strength. You're depending upon, amen, your abilities. You're depending upon your character. You're depending upon your history. I whipped that back then. I can whip it now. Amen. David whipped Goliath one time. Amen. But Ishbi-Benob just about cut his head off. Goliath's brother later on in years just about killed David. Amen. You gotta be wary. You gotta be conscious. You gotta be aware of your circumstances and such. And you've always got to be dependent on the Lord. And so sometimes your weaknesses counteract as a strength to you, because you'll depend upon God when your strengths, amen, are actually an inhibitor, amen, unto God. And you know, and so God oftentimes walks us through the valleys of weakness, amen, because God understands in the valley of weakness you can make it, where in the valley of strength you just feel like you can conquer everything. And I thank God that there are times that I feel like I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Amen. But don't let my confidence overshadow my abilities, and don't let my confidence, amen, overcome my good things. I want to be dependent upon the Lord in all things. And so sometimes those choices in life, you may say, I know that I can do this, but I still don't want to be lost. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. I feel like I can conquer this, but I'm not going to subject myself to it. I feel like I can make it, but I'm not going to try it. I don't want to be lost. You say, why is that so important? Well, it's just heaven or hell. If you didn't believe in hell, you probably wouldn't be here today. And if you didn't want to go to heaven, you probably wouldn't be here today. Being here today says, I want to be saved. Being here today says, I don't want to be lost. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And that's just this manual that God has given unto us. This book. And you know, the wonderful thing about it is he put Solomon's book right in it. And basically he's saying, Rehoboam wouldn't listen to it, would you? Rehoboam wouldn't pay attention to it, will you? Because the same things that work for Rehoboam work for us too. But it's not just the book of Proverbs, it's the entire book. The Lord's letting us know. He says, you know, over here in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 14 and verse number 12. He said, you know what? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Every one of us, especially men, we think we know what's right. And your wife's over there saying, you know what? I told you 5 minutes ago to pull over and ask for directions. No, if I wouldn't have pulled over, I'd have had it. Yeah, I'd have had it. I was almost there. Lord said, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Not everything that you think is right is right. As a matter of fact, he said in the book of Job, chapter number 14, I believe it's verse number 1, he said, man that is born of a woman is but a few days full of trouble. God's saying, look here, son, I'm telling you right now, you don't have to be very old before you're going to get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. I just say the day don't have to be very old at all before you can get yourself in trouble. You wake up and you got choices to make. Every day when I wake up, I got choices to make. Am I going to go to the church and pray? Or am I going to sit around and read? Am I going to go pray now or am I going to go pray later? I'll go pray later. Guess what? I got a choice to make later. Am I going to go pray now or am I going to pray later? Well, I think I'll go pray later. I got stuff to do right now. Later on towards the end of the day, am I going to go pray now or am I going to go pray later? Well, I'm a little bit too tired to go pray now. But you see how choices affect the life that we live, the path. There's all kinds of things that come on you. Sickness. What did the comedian say? Healthy or sick? If you're healthy, you don't have anything to worry about. If you're sick, you got two things to worry about. Am I going to get better or am I going to get worse? If you get better, you don't have anything to worry about. If you get worse, you got two things to worry about. Am I going to live or am I going to die? If you live, you don't have anything to worry about. If you die, you got something to worry about. Am I saved or am I lost? Disease? That's called life. It happens. It happens. You say, well, I just don't understand why I have this disease. You know what? You're not the first one. You're not the first one to not understand, and you're not the first one to have the disease. The disease was around before they even knew what it was. It's just life. You say, well, I thought that if I was living for God, that God would keep me from all of these things. No, it's just that when we go through life with these things, we have God. I have somebody I can lean upon. I have somebody that can help. And you know what? The Bible even speaks of that over in the book of Hebrews. Said there's so great a cloud of witnesses about us. Amen. I believe that there are going to be people that are going to stand in defiance and judgment and say, well, you know what, God? If I wouldn't have had cancer, then I could have made it to heaven. And the Lord's going to say, hey, step up. And there's going to be one that's going to step up and said, I had cancer at 4 years of age. I had cancer at 20 years of age. I died at 21, but I never forsook God. I never charged him foolishly. Oh, yeah. Hundreds upon hundreds, thousands upon thousands are going to step up and say, yep, we did too. It rains on the just and the unjust. It's just how we respond in life. Does it make it easier? I'm just telling you, God makes it easier. Hope. Hope. Life is but a vapor of smoke. It's here today and gone, James said.
I've just got to make the one decision today that's set in front of me. And the ultimate is, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost. No matter what the decision is, no matter, I don't want to be lost. We could look at jobs. Oh, this job, I'd be a millionaire by the time I was 35. I think that's the will of God so that I could bless the church. 35, you ain't even in the church because you've been working every waking hour of the day and you got too busy and you got too tired and you didn't go to church and forsook it all and walked out. You know, it just comes back down to, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost. Do I marry this girl or do I not? You got two choices to make. If you're right, you don't have anything to worry about. If you're wrong, you may have a few more things than two things to worry about. I didn't say man because we don't have any young ladies in here right now. But you understand that every choice in life that you make has consequences, good or bad. Do I hang out with them or do I not hang out with them? Two choices. If you make the right choice, it'll be good. If you make the wrong choice, you got two things to worry about. Do I stay in connection with them? Two choices. Do I stay in fellowship with them? Two choices. I'm not making this a broad public announcement. We just keep it in the confines of the four walls. My family comes to visit me and they're not in church. They know that's where I go. You can stay here at the house, but I'm going to church. Two choices. I don't want to be lost. So surely you're strong enough. I don't want to be lost. And it could be that God's going to talk to me and tell me something specifically in church that night. Could be an area that I'm struggling with and the preacher doesn't even know that I'm struggling with it. And God's going to lay a message on his heart to teach about it. And I'm going to miss it. And so, two choices. Do I go or do I not go? Well, I'm not going to go. Now you got two things to worry about. God is going to come back and give it to you so directly? Or are you going to miss it and struggle and fall out? I don't want to be lost. And you may look at me and you say, you may think to yourself, you know, Pastor, I think that's a little bit harsh. It's just heaven or hell. So that's pretty cruel. That's ultimately what it all comes down to. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Every choice is going to bring new choices. Every choice is going to have its repercussions. It may be good. It may be bad. If I pull my money out of the stock, what's going to happen? It may be good. It may be bad. It's a choice. But you don't know that. You don't necessarily get to look at the end of your life and say, now if I make this choice, what's going to happen? That's where you got to use wisdom. That's where you've got to go back to the book. So what did the wise man say? What did the Lord say?
Solomon said unto Rehoboam, he said, son, listen to me. If they come to you telling you, join with us and let's go do this and this, I'm telling you, listen to me. Don't join in their path. Don't get on the path of life they're looking that they're on. Look at them. Why would you choose to walk and to follow somebody like that, that does not have it together? Obviously, they're messed up. Obviously, all the things in life that is there, just take a look. I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't do as I did. And he said, hey, let me just tell you something. It's not just them. It's everyone. How does this benefit me? How does this benefit them? Well, they want me to do this and this and this. How does that benefit me? How does that benefit them? Oh, it doesn't benefit me at all. But it benefits them? Where is this taking me? Some of the choices that we make in life, and then we wonder later on, why am I so stressed out? It's because of the choices that you made. I'm not saying that that stress will never be in your life, but you can minimize it simply due to the choice. You've got to come down to the place that I don't want to be lost. Can you be stressed and go to heaven? Maybe so, maybe not. If you're right, you have nothing to worry about. If you're wrong, you got two things to worry about. I don't want to be lost. And I need to understand that every choice that is out there, that is set before me on a daily basis, it has a repercussion. It's going to be good or it's going to be bad. I've got to get in the Word of God. And you know what the Word teaches me? The Lord said, look. It's not my will that any should perish. But that doesn't mean that I take the eraser and wipe out the word hell and the place hell. It's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But there's still a wide way, and there's still a narrow way. There's still a straight gate. There's still a large, wide gate. There's still destruction, and there's still life everlasting. Just because that God doesn't want anybody to die lost and go to hell doesn't mean that he gets his way. You know why? Because you got a choice. You got a choice. Solomon said, son, as we stand this morning, son, don't go jump on the same path that they are on when they say, come with us, come with us. But yet the Lord looks at us and he beckons unto us and he says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord says, I stand and knock on the door and say, open up, open unto me. And he said, he that makes the choice to open unto me, I will go in with him and I'll sup with him and he with me. But if he makes the choice to not open the door, I'll move on to another door. Isn't that what he said? He said, if they receive you, go in unto them. But if they don't, shake the dust off your feet and go to somewhere else. I don't want to be lost. My choices today affect me tomorrow. And tomorrow I've got to forget about today. I may have made all the right choices today, but Monday comes with a brand new set of choices. And
all comes down to, do I want to be saved or do I want to be lost? I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost. Tuesday, I've got new choices. Wednesday, new choices. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. August, September, October. 2025, 2026. Until that appointed time that we're all given. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Until that appointed time. When do I know when that appointed time is? For some, it was 5 years of age. For others, it was 20. For others, it may be 84. For others, they may be living at 100. You just never know. So your choices today are going to affect your eternity. There's so many people that I wish that I could go to and I could say, hey, you're making the wrong choices. You need to make some different choices. But that would be like Solomon telling Rehoboam, can't you see? And Rehoboam is like, there's nothing so heartbreaking as having truth stand right in front of an individual and them not be able to even see it. Refusing to recognize it. I just don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. Pleasures and sin for a season today, or choose what's right. Moses said, I refuse. I'm not going to take the pleasures of sin for a season. I'll just suffer affliction with the people of God. Well, he made the right choice, but he had another choice later on in life. You see, you can do it your way, or you can do it God's way. You can say, well, I know what others have done, but I'm going to be different. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. But history says you're wrong. But you know what? Forget history. It's what the Bible says. I want to be right. I can't chance not being right. I can't look at something and say, well, nobody did it that way, so I'm not doing it that way. Uh-uh. I don't want to be lost. And so the Lord stands today and he says, come. Come. I'm opening up these altars here this morning. Would you come? Maybe I will, maybe I won't. If you do, you may not have anything to worry about. If you don't, you have two things to worry about. Maybe you'll have another chance, maybe you won't have another chance. If you do have another chance, you don't have a whole lot to worry about. But if you don't have another chance, you got eternity to worry about it. I don't want to be lost. Come on, that's got to be the ruling principle in your life. Instead of basing your life's choices on your preferences and your feelings and what brings you pleasure and brings you happiness and brings you joy and brings you peace and brings you rest and comfort and strength and stuff. So it's really not about I don't want to be lost. It's about how do I feel right now. You're not really concerned about being lost. You're just concerned about how you feel right now. Well, I feel fine right now. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. The underlying principle has got to be, I don't want to be lost. My friend, when you wake up Monday morning, that needs to be ringing in your ears. I don't want to be lost. As you come to every decision in life, that needs to be the phrase, the logo that is plastered on the mirror, on the speedometer, on every place in life. I don't want to be lost. I got to choose what I'm going to do. I don't want to be lost. How is this going to affect it? It doesn't affect it. All right, then I may do this or I may do that. Monday night, when you go to bed, you need to think, oh, I don't want to be lost. Is there anything that I did that would cause me to venture the wrong way, that changed my direction? And now I'm not necessarily headed in the right decision, in the right way. Oh, God, forgive me. I don't want to be lost. Not like Rehoboam. Ah, it doesn't matter. I'm do what I want to do. Where did they get you, Rehoboam? Solomon would say, it got you exactly where it got me. Not a whole lot of things I'm proud about. Not a whole lot of things I got a lot of regrets, a lot of wishes. I wished I could go back and do a whole lot of things different. This morning, you've got an opportunity to do those things different. This morning, you've got an opportunity to line up your life with the Word of God.